Proverbs chapter 2. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would accomplish all of your good purposes here this morning. Lord, you would build up your church. You would strengthen our faith. Lord, you would correct us where we need to be corrected. Lord, you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. You would open our eyes to see things in your word that we desperately need to see this morning. Lord, that we might grow in our faith, that we might grow in our love for Jesus. That you would give us a passion to really pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. That, Lord, we would really fear you. But we would live our lives every single day, every moment of the day, each day, aware of just our absolute dependence upon you. Lord, recognizing that you are God and we are not. You have always existed. You have never been created and you will always exist. Lord, that you are all those things we read and meditated on at the beginning of this service. Lord, that we would have those things in the front of our minds all the time. And Lord, that it would lead us to positions in places where we just say, Lord, give us wisdom. Speak to us, direct us, lead us, guide us in your paths. Lord, we want to do your will. Your will be done, not ours. Show us. Lord, we need that. And so, Lord, would you accomplish your good purposes this morning through the preaching of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, one of my boys bought a used set of golf irons. And so in my home, we're always playing sports and doing different things. And right now, golf seems to be that thing. It's been that thing for a while, but it's just always there, and it's summertime. And so with it, and like any sport, there's always new things to buy, new equipment to get, because this equipment promises better results. It promises victories. And so you get it. And if you've ever played golf and you've been using old irons and then you got new technology and all this kind of stuff. And so you go after that. And then when you get it, you get excited about it. And so this was my son. My son bought these new irons, new to him. And what they did is in his mind, they promised him scores in the low 70s. And you know what that's like. Like, there's only a few people, really, percentage of people who are going to shoot in the low 70s consistently. But this is what these new irons sort of were doing for him and are doing for him. And on top of that, like, if you listen to him, they also brought with it this possible chance of being on the PGA Tour in 1 to 2 years. And this is true. Like, you kind of joke about it. And if you're, like, play sports at all and you're young, you know this. You just think, like, I can do this. Like, if I just give myself to this with these new irons, I could do this in a year, 2 years, or whatever. Anyways, that's what he's thinking. And that's all the hope and love for these things. And he loved these irons so much that I'd come home and they'd be sitting in my living room, like, just so he could look at them and everybody else can look at them and he could show them off to everybody. It's just it worked its way into his heart. Just this special place, this love for these irons. Well, he loved them a lot, and he was using them a lot every day, all this kind of stuff. Anyways, one day he went out to play, and I think he was going to the range, and he looked in his bag, and he was missing his 6-iron. And so if you've played golf, you understand sometimes irons come up missing. And so immediately, what do you think he began to do? Just began to search for it. And so he began to call every course that he had been at, because I told him, I said, listen, there's only two places that club could possibly be. It's on a course somewhere, meaning it's gone forever, because somebody else just found it and they've taken it. And I said, or it's in somebody else's bag. Like, somebody else you put it in somebody else's bag. It just accidentally happened as you're playing with folks. Anyways, so he began to immediately search for this thing. He just bought it. This was like a week and a half later. Anyways, he's searching. He's calling these courses. They didn't have it. He's looking in everybody's bag, his brother's bags, his cousin's bags. They didn't have it. And then he's calling. He's just kind of retracing his steps as he was showing off his clubs to different people. He was kind of thinking, maybe I dropped it. Maybe it fell out. And so he did this for about a week and a half where he was just frantically sort of searching every day in those same places and then calling on people to also search in those same places or different places to find this six iron. It was a relentless pursuit to find the six iron. And you get why. Like, if you've ever lost something, especially something of value to you, like, what do you do in those moments? You do that same thing. You retrace steps over and over and over again until you can find it. Well, for him, eventually he got to this place, and he's like, I guess I'm never going to have a six iron. And then you begin to talk to yourself, I'm really not going to use a six iron very much anyways, you know, probably, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, come to find out his cousin decided to go play golf one day, and he looked in his bag, and guess what his cousin had? The six iron. The six iron. Anyways, I share this story with you because I think we can all relate in some ways to that frantic searching. When you lose something valuable, when you misplace something that you desperately need, you search for it. You work hard to go find that thing. You cry out, at least what I do, cry out to God, God, show me where this is. And I would say this to my boy. I'd just say, are you praying? Are you asking God to reveal it? And I would just say, God knows exactly where that six iron is. And he knows exactly where, whatever it is you've lost, he knows where it is. And he will reveal it when he wants to reveal it. This is what I would say to him. But we are absolutely dependent upon God for that six iron. And so, anyways, we know what that feeling is like, don't we? And we know what it's like to work hard to go find it. Whether you find it or not, you're going to work hard to look for it. You're going to search. And the more you love it and the more value you place on it, the more searching that you're going to do because you really want that, right? So I want you to think about that feeling because in a sense, what we're going to learn in this text this morning is that as Solomon is making his way through this book, we're now into chapter 2, he's already told us that in the beginning, he's calling out to his son, listen to my instruction and your mother's teaching. And then he went on in chapter 1 and he just said, listen to wisdom. She'll save your life. And so he's working his way through that argument. And now we get to chapter 2. And what he's going to teach us is not only should you listen, sort of passively, like your ears open and they're bent towards wisdom, instruction, and teaching, we're going to learn here that we actually have a part to play in growing in wisdom or growing in our faith. And that part is like looking for a six iron or looking for whatever it is that you have lost, that you frantically search for, that you work hard to find. And we're called by God to go after this. If we want wisdom, we listen to it. And we search for it. We go after it. Specifically, here's what we're going to learn, if you want to put it in a sentence. If you want to grow in your faith and understand what God's purposes are for your life, then you must search for God's wisdom like you are searching for hidden treasure. Or you could say six iron. Or you could say your dog that you lost. Or you could say your cat that you lost. Just something that stirs up that sense of urgency and importance. Like you wake up and you're thinking six iron. You wake up and you're thinking lost dog. You wake up and you're thinking lost phone. Whatever it is that just captivates and grabs a hold of your heart and makes you think about it all the time, like my boy was thinking about a six iron. That's what Solomon wants us to feel here. You want to grow in your faith? You want to grow in wisdom? You need an answer to something? You want to know what God's actually calling you to do? He's saying, search for it. Wisdom's crying out. She's been yelling. He's already told us that. Listen to her, and now go after it. Search for it. Search for it like you're trying to find hidden treasure. Now, to help us get our minds around this truth, we're going to take a look at 2 points this morning as we take a look at this whole chapter. In our first point, we learned that wisdom must be received and actively pursued. Wisdom must be received and actively pursued. This chapter begins with Solomon again speaking to his son, urging him to listen to words, to his words, and pursue wisdom. And so Solomon is a wise father. He knows, if you read through this and you think about Solomon speaking to his son, you just see a wise dad, and we know this from Ecclesiastes, who has pursued wisdom. He's pursued the madness of folly. He's come to the end of the matter, and the end of the matter from Ecclesiastes is fear God and obey him. And now he's speaking to his son, and he's going to give him some wisdom. And so he's sitting him down because he knows that his son, in some ways, his temptation, his default is to be complacent. To just kind of go with the flow and maybe be a little lazy with his life and his learning. He knows that his son probably can't see past today. Can't see what life is really like because he's young and inexperienced in life. So Solomon does his best in this book to help equip his son here to live a fruitful and faithful life for the glory of God. And so he's sowing those seeds. Whether his son listens or not at that moment, there's seeds being sown that he knows, by the grace of God, Lord willing, these seeds bear fruit. And what we learn from Solomon in the first 4 verses of this chapter is that it takes work. It takes work to grow in our faith. It takes effort to grow in wisdom. Listen to how Solomon says this, first 4 verses. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Don't you love how Solomon builds up this sense of importance here? You can just imagine. If you're a dad, you know what he's doing here. You know what he's feeling. Or a mom, parent, you know this feeling as you look at your kids and you know they can't see past today, but you can because you were there and you've lived a little bit of life. You know what tomorrow brings. You know the temptations they're going to face. And so you share a word with this. That's why I imagine Solomon just sitting there and he's sharing this, and you feel this sense of urgency, this father's love. Like, if you listen to me, if you pay attention to this, and you go after these things, if you don't remain complacent, if you work, if you receive my words and you treasure up my commandments with you. And again, he's just speaking. He might have whispered it. Who knows how his kid. Maybe some kids need to be yelled at and some kids just need a gentle nudge and a whisper. So however he says it, the point is, he says, if you don't ignore me, but instead listen to me and actually accept what I'm about to say is true. But he doesn't just then move on to the then part. The other side of the conditional statement. Instead, he has more to say. He says, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. So he's trying to help his boy just say, you can't passively just listen to wisdom when you want. She's crying out. You got to listen. But it can't be passive listening. You got to bend your ear towards her. You know she's speaking. So make your ear pay attention to her. Be attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. There's no passive listening here. But this too is still not enough, because he goes out and he says, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Don't you love that verse? Scripture verses like that right there have really helped to shape the way I live my life in many ways. Left to myself, I think I would be a quiet person. And some of this, as I think about it, was I was raised in northern Michigan, and I loved sports, and I loved the Detroit Lions. And so the Detroit Lions had a running back by the name of Barry Sanders. I'm not going to assume you all know him, but you should. And if you don't, you better Google him, okay? Because one of, I'm not going to say the greatest, but one of the greatest running backs in NFL history, okay? And he quit before his career was over. Anyways, when I say raised to be a certain way, is Barry Sanders, when he would score a touchdown, you know what he would do with the football? The opposite of Rob Gronkowski. Like, Rob, like, spikes it, bounces all over the place. It's a celebration. With Barry, he would run in the end zone, and he'd just run over, and he'd hand it to the official, and then he'd just go to the sidelines. And that was sort of celebrated. My dad celebrated. It was that act like you've been their culture, which today I disagree 100% with. And I do not coach that way, because I think if you score a touchdown in the NFL, you should celebrate it. Very difficult to score a touchdown in the NFL. Anyways, I grew up believing that, and so you just quiet. You just do your business. You just kind of go about, act like you've been there. That's the mature way, until Coach Belichick set me free from Barry Sanders. And what Coach Belichick would say is, when you get in the end zone, you celebrate with your teammates. Everybody has worked really, really hard to get there, and if you've been a Falcons fan, you know how hard it is to get in the end zone sometimes, right? So when you do, what do? You celebrate. You're loud. And when I coach baseball with my guys and they get on second base, you know what you do? You celebrate. If you ever go to a baseball game, high school, college, I don't know if pros do it. Sometimes they do. But high schoolers and college guys are great. You get a double, you get an extra base hit, you better have a celebration ready. That's what I tell my team. Because you know how hard it is to get an extra base hit? How many in here have ever got an extra base hit in a high school baseball game? Raise your hand. Yeah, not many. So when you get it, you celebrate, and you celebrate with your teams, because you got to enjoy it. Anyways, you get my point here, and it really sort of has to do with this. The point is, Solomon's telling his son, lift up your voice. Raise your voice. If you call out, if you're loud, if you feel like you really need some wisdom here, then pay attention, bend your ear, and raise your voice. Ask God. Ask God to speak. Ask God to show you. Lord, I have a decision to make. I don't know what to do here. What should I do? That should sound like something. James 5, verse 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Do you know what that verse tells us to do here? It tells us, it invites us to speak to God. And if you combine that with what Solomon's trying to tell us here in this Proverbs, is you raise your voice. That might be a whisper sometimes. But if you're not in the habit of raising your voice, I want to encourage you, find a private place, maybe in your car as you're all alone, as you're wrestling with a decision you got to make about your marriage, about school, or whatever it is, go on a walk, go whatever you got to do, just apply this, because we have a God who gives generously. That's what it says. He gives generously. That means he wants to give you wisdom. He desires to give you wisdom. That is part of his purpose and plan for you, is to give you wisdom to live the life that he's called you to live. And sometimes that's real easy to find. You know, like, should you steal something? Lord, should I steal this from the store? The wisdom would say, no. Right? But when you have to make a decision of, Lord, should my degree be a business degree, or should I maybe go to a tech school and become an electrician. Lord, what should I do? There's a little bit of wisdom needed in there. Decisions based upon what you should do and how you're going to do that. And so you've got to wrestle through these things. Raise your voice. Raise your voice. And then he goes on and he says, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. What does that sound like? It sounds like work. I don't know if you've ever been on a treasure hunt. I don't do them a lot. Not very often at all. I've seen people go on treasure hunts, and I watch people search for six irons. It's work. It's exhausting. Trying to figure out clues and just what's going on here. But there's a call for us here to work. See, hidden treasure doesn't just uncover itself. The point Solomon is making here is that wisdom is calling out to us all. She's speaking to us. She's making herself known to us. She's not hiding from us at all. But if we want to benefit from what she's saying, we need to actually sort of actively pursue her. Pursue her. There's time wisdom's needed, like, okay, Lord, I've looked everywhere I possibly could look. I don't have a clear answer here. And so sometimes wisdom is remaining silent sometimes because the Lord just has us in a place where he's saying, I just want you to wait. I want you to just sit on this. And again, that takes wisdom, but the pursuit of wisdom is not being complacent. It's not just waiting for something to happen all the time. There's an active pursuit of the Lord. We need to actively listen to the Lord. We need to cultivate a love for him and his word and his ways. And we need to raise our voices in prayer, calling out to God, asking him to speak. And we need to search his word. We need to study his word and let his word guide us. And part of that searching looks like doing what we're doing here today. It involves the community of God. The church. That's why I love getting to live life together with all of you and listening to what Brandon is saying about the church. I don't know if you've heard it or you felt it, but it seems like a pretty good place to live life. I'm not just saying Sovereign Grace Church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God, being a part of a good, local, strong church full of godly Christians seeking to follow. The Lord gives us wisdom through his word and through his people. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Wisdom, God's word, his truth, it speaks to us. Ray Ortland said this. He said, wisdom is not automatic of us. Wisdom is not our default setting. We will never get there by drifting. You cannot become a significant person by being neutral and cute and safely unchanged. That is complacency. God is offering you a treasure infinitely worth seeking, more of himself entering into you, renewing you, safeguarding you. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, if you need help in your marriage, if you need any sort of wisdom in regards to parenting, if you're trying to discern what the Lord has called you to do and be with your life, if you want any advice, godly advice, it begins by surrendering your life to Jesus, picking up your cross, and actively pursuing God and his ways. And if you don't know how to do this, here's where I recommend. I recommend you just start out by raising your voice in prayer. Just, Lord, I need you. Simple prayers. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I trust that you do. Would you please speak to me? One of my favorite prayers, you probably hear me say this over and over again at different points, is I just pray, Lord, would you surprise and delight me? Would you surprise and delight my kids? Would you surprise and delight our church? And part of that is, like, I just know the Lord's generous. I know he's kind. I know he's good. I know we come in expecting one thing. The reality is the Lord knows exactly what he's doing. And I trust that he's always going to work for our good. And so I ask, Lord, would you surprise and delight us today? Just simple, just keeping it simple. That's what I feel like Solomon in many ways is what he's doing as he's talking to his son or as God's speaking to us today. There's just this outline here. If you want to grow, Look at this chapter. If you want to grow, cry out to God, raise your voice, and dig into this thing. God's Word, where He speaks truth to us, where He reveals wisdom to us, where He helps us make wise decisions that honor and glorify Him in all things. Verse 6, he says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you." Now, these things sound pretty good, don't they? Solomon's enticing his son. God's enticing us here. Call out to wisdom. Search for it. You'll find it, but you got to search for it. And oh, by the way, it does these things. It'll lead you, if you could summarize it in some ways, what he says here, it will lead you down the good path. Because there's really two paths. And we're going to see the other path here in a second. But wisdom, God and His ways, it leads us down the right path. It will lead you in the right direction. It will take you to the place where you find the greatest joy and will be the most fruitful. That will benefit your marriage the most, will help you with your parenting the best. That's what wisdom does. It helps us understand who God is, His ways, and who we are in relation to Him and how we are to act in His world. Does that make sense? It's meant to make sense because He's the Creator. Therefore, He probably has a whole lot to say about His creation and can help us understand how we live out our lives as His creation for Him and His glory, that we might be the most fruitful and effective and bring Him the most glory. See, God will show us what is right and just. He will show us what is true. He will give us understanding when there's a lack of clarity. He will reveal Himself to us and give us knowledge of Himself and His ways that will be pleasant to our souls. He will also protect us with His wisdom, with His truth from evil. If you find yourself in a difficult situation this morning, not knowing what to do, then Solomon is speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to all of us. He's urging us to turn to God. He's urging us to raise our voices and to ask God to speak to us and guide us and lead us. If your marriage is heading down the wrong path, you don't feel like it's on that good path that he just described for us, Solomon would say to you this morning, raise your voice. Pursue wisdom. Cry out to the Lord. Get guidance. Find out what He's called you to do and how to live life through His ways. If you're breathing this morning, then Solomon would say to us, turn to God. Call out to Him. Pursue Him and you will find Him. And in finding Him, you will find wisdom. And in finding wisdom, you will be prepared for life in this fallen world. And this leads us to our second and final point. Number two, wisdom will save us from evil. In verses 12 through 15, we see that wisdom will deliver us from the evil way. This is that other path. Wisdom puts us on the good path. It shows us the good path. It shows us what's right. And it protects us from this other path. Verse 12, it says, "Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." You already know this, but we live in a fallen world that's full of evil people who forsake the ways of God. This is one of the most frustrating things I see in politics. And this comes up every once in a while, but now that we have an election coming up, it comes up more and more as people begin to speak and they begin to say things. There's always somebody saying, well, tell us about the lies. And so there's always fact-checking everybody. And somewhere that kind of gets lost in everything. But for me, it's maddening. Like, I pay attention to that, but this side says it's a lie, and this side says it's not a lie. And so there's just this battle, and it's like, can somebody just tell us the truth? But the most maddening thing is that when there is a lie, and then one of the talking heads kind of talks about it, and they just say, well, that's just politics. You just kind of got to say it like that. And I just think, no, you don't. You don't. You can actually tell the truth. You could actually communicate the truth in a clear way so that we understand it. Hopefully we understand it so that we can then make the best decision. But instead, you're on this hunt for just, what is the truth? And so it's maddening. We live in that world. But what Solomon is saying is like, I know you live in that world. You don't really know how evil the world is that you live in, but if you pursue wisdom, it will protect you from that evil world. If you pick up your cross and you follow Jesus, it will guide you through this evil world with all that perverse talk. People bending truth, deceiving people. It will protect you. That's what he's setting his son up, almost like his son's about to leave and go off to college, or his son's about to just go off and try to make something of his life. And his dad's just saying, listen, it's a fallen, broken world, and this right here will protect you from it. This right here will keep you off that evil path. This right here will help you to discern the lies that this world is going to teach you, that evil people are going to come alongside and say, hey, I need you to do this. I want you to follow me here. This is a fun life. And Solomon's saying, no. Pursue wisdom. And it will protect you. It will guide you. In verses 16 through 20, he also tells us that wisdom will deliver us from sexual immorality too. And he's going to have a lot to say to his son about this later on in different chapters. But here it is, verse 16 through 20 says, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. See, his son can't see past today. Solomon's lived a long life. He's pursued the madness of folly. He knows the reality of verses 16 through 20. And he's trying to protect his son. And I would say God in many ways is seeking to protect us as well, and just trying to help us understand no one is immune from this temptation. No one is immune from temptation and sin. See, our world celebrates sexual sin. Our world makes it easy to fall into this temptation and this sin. Marriage can be really hard. And when it gets really hard, Solomon tells us that the forbidden woman will seem really easy. Will seem really easy, and her words will be smooth. They'll be delightful. They'll be comforting. They'll be inviting. He's just sort of painting this picture because he knows it's a reality. She'll be there. Sexual temptation, sexual immorality is just a reality for the world that we live in. And if we think we're immune from it, we're moving closer to being a fool than we are to being wise. We're not immune from it. There's a reason God has recorded these words for us to prepare us, because he wants us to know these things about the forbidden woman, or about sexual immorality, or about adultery. There's nothing good about it. There's nothing appealing to us, if we're thinking rightly about our lives, our families, if we look at these verses. Well, I recommend memorize this section of Scripture. Hide this word in your heart, because it will protect you. When smooth words are shared with you by the forbidden woman, you need to remember that all who go to her house do not come back. Destroys marriages, destroys relationships, destroys families. Deceptive. Our world will not say this to you. Our world celebrates the forbidden woman in many ways. But the Lord does not. The Lord tells us she's a deceiver. Sexual immorality, sexual sin, it's deceptive. Promises pleasure, delivers destruction. Promises pleasure, but it always delivers destruction. But guess who protects us from that? God in his ways. God in his ways. You want to protect your marriage, Solomon would say, pursue wisdom like you're searching for hidden treasure. Verse 20 through 22, he goes on and he says, so he kind of ends with this conclusion. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So when you think about this path, this pursuit of wisdom, one of the things I want you to see from these verses here is that it's not a lonely path. It's a path that we will travel together with other good and righteous people. It's part of God's purpose and plan. Again, think about what Brandon was sharing. It was so well said, Brandon. Just an encouragement. We do this together. It's a path that we walk together. We pursue wisdom together. God protects us as we live life together, as we walk down this path together. God has brought us together through faith in Jesus, and he has us walking out our faith together. There are only two paths to walk in life. One path leads to eternal destruction, and one path leads to eternal life. And Solomon teaches us here that in these final two verses, that the wise, those who look to God, those who fear God, who are saved by the grace of God, trusting in Jesus Christ alone, they're going to inhabit the land. But fools, those who reject God and his ways, they'll be rooted out of it. There's a warning here. His son's got a decision to make. And we have a decision to make. Will we listen to God? Or will we listen to wisdom as she cries out to us, as verse 1 or chapter 1 says? Will we bend our ear to her? Will we go after her like we're looking for hidden treasure? Or a six iron? Will you? See, those who do, by the grace of God and receive it, he says, they're going to inherit the land. They're going to receive eternal life. But those who reject God, those who reject God and his ways, what does Solomon teach us here? You don't inherit the land. You're actually going to be rooted out of it. It's just another way of saying this. This is a familiar section of Scripture. John 3, 16 through 21 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. See, wisdom is crying out to us this morning. Believe in Jesus. Surrender your life to Jesus. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Faith in Jesus is a gift from God, and this gift is meant to be cultivated. It's meant to be pursued. It's meant to be searched for with intentionality and urgency as if our lives depended upon it, because they do. Remember that feeling when you lost something, you went after it. That's what Solomon's trying to stir up here. That's what God's trying to teach us here. What does my relationship with God look like through faith in Jesus? It looks like an intentional, active pursuit of God and his ways. trusting that we can't take this next breath unless he gives it to us. Trusting, you can't make any good decision apart from God giving you the information and the knowledge and the ability and the wisdom to make that decision. We're just desperate for him for everything. Faith in Jesus, it's a gift. It's meant to be pursued. It's meant to be searched for with intentionality. And so, friends, in closing, here's what I want to encourage us to do. Seek wisdom. Search for it. Raise your voices to God and ask him to reveal himself to you today, tomorrow. Every day that the Lord allows for us to take a breath, may we be crying out to him with loud voices. Speak to us. Guide us. Reveal yourself to us. Apart from you, Lord, I can do nothing. So, Lord, do something. Show me. Lord, you say you give wisdom generously. Lord, I'm asking for wisdom. Give it to me generously. Just raise your voice and then intentionally pursue. And let us trust that we have a good God who loves us. And we know he loves us. He gave his son to die on a cross to save us. He's for us, isn't he? And he invites us. He invites us to pursue. He invites us to search. So by the grace of God, let us actively and intentionally pursue God this week. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask for more of you. Lord, we ask that you would give us a deeper passion for Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would give us greater faith that we might fear you more properly, the right way. And that, Lord, you would guide us, Lord, in making decisions. Lord, that you would be near to us. And that, Lord, you would surprise and delight us this week with the ways in which you speak to us through your word. And the ways in which you guide us in this life you've called us to live. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.